Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series, and this is the Divine Will ebook series, where we attempt to methodically take Reverend Father Joseph Leo Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation and go through it step by step, because it's just so incredible. Because what God has done through Father Annuzzi is Father Annuzzi has summarized all of Luis's writings. And then he's given us the opportunity to drive us into the volumes where we can sort of corroborate what Father said. And we can also see where Father drew some inspiration, because, again, he's got different levels of history of the church that he taps into: the patristics, the magisterium, the doctors, the fathers. He goes into everything. See, basically, he had to prove that everything that Luisa wrote was found in our Catholic faith somewhere. And he successfully defended that thesis, which, again, it was done through the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, which many popes have gone through, which is authorized by the Holy See. So when the Pontifical University of Rome stamps its approval, it's doing it on behalf of the Holy See. So in essence, we've got a beautiful treasure here to use as we await the critical edition, which, quite frankly, we're not sure when we're going to have. It could be tomorrow. It could be years from now. We're not sure. Whatever God's time is. Because as they stated, as the Archbishop of Corrado stated, there's no errors in Luisa's writings. None. Zero. But there are ambiguities. There are things that the Vatican, Corrado, and everyone involved cannot explain from a Catholic perspective. Again, Jesus knew this. He says, well, you know what? They're going to try to understand all of this with their human intellect, their human wisdom, and it's just not going to work. They need to have my grace in order to do this. So again, God's just giving us time to embrace this, I think, wholeheartedly in faith. Remember what Jesus says in volume 2, faith is God. So when he said, when I return, will I find faith? Basically, he was saying, when I return, will I find me? Well, will anyone be thinking about me or wanting me? I know Maureen does. I'm going to unmute Maureen right now. Hi, Maureen. Oh, I think you may be muted on the headset.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everybody.
That's better.
Yeah, I can't live without Jesus, that's for sure.
No. We wouldn't be alive. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and then we'll get to the program. So let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, excuse me, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more. The spirit of faith, hope, and love. The spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God. The spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility. The spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just pardon me for a moment. Thank you. My allergies are really bad today. So welcome to the Divine Will ebook series. I don't think we had it last week, did we? I can't remember. We had some cancellations because of various things going on. But here we methodically go through Father's dissertation. I mean, what a treasure we have here. I think this took Father 15 or 16 years. I don't know if you remember the exact years, Maureen, but it took a long time to do this because, again, 10,000 pages of Luis's writing. And what he also did also is he took out the redundancies. He didn't delete anything that was there. But if she said it, you know, 10 times the same way, he removed the 9, and that's what made it a bit more elongated than it should be. So he condensed this 10,000 pages really into about 700 or 800 pages. And therefore, it's a little easier to get through. But again, having the passages, having the approval of the Holy See through the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, I mean, what a blessing as we await the critical edition of Luis's writings of the Book of Heaven. And also you'll notice that much of the material that we receive will stay for private use only. And that's, you know, basically because, again, we don't have an English, especially with the English, we don't have an English translation that has the imprimatur nihil obstat. Remember, the imprimatur nihil obstat of the first 19 volumes is for the Italian translation. But there is a caveat, because, again, Vatican knows it's not easy to do that and to do it in multiple languages right away. If you have a bona fide theologian who does the translation, you can use and accept that in a public forum. And that's basically what we have here. So if you want to use it in your cenacle, I think there's about three or four different cenacles at least that use this as the crux. They will use this as the plank to dive into their cenacles. And again, it's just great, because remember what the late Archbishop Pacieri told us. I can get that up here. He told us that the Archbishop Giovanni Pacera had asked that all who read these writings be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. Again, this is difficult, because first of all, it's not even that easy getting a priest, and then getting a priest that can understand the divine will is even rarer. And then to have one that understands the divine will that's well versed in theology is near impossible at this time. But we do have, again, using this material, you're guided by a priest, you know, and the theological questions are going to be less because they're already probably answered before they're even asked by us. But if there is any, or there are any additional questions, you can filter those into us at the Mary's Hill at queenofthedivineworld.org, and we'll send it off to Father Anuzzi, Father Celso, Mother Gabriel, Father Elijah, and we'll get the answer for you. But I think you're going to have a lot less because, again, Father explains it. And then again, drives us into the volumes, and then, you know, it's just basically a back and forth. It's like the gerb wheel, but we're learning every time we make a spin here. Anything you can add to that, Maureen?
I think it's really important mm-hmm. that we know that we can go somewhere and ask a question, because sometimes questions do come up in the cenacles, and it's important to go to the right source, which we have a couple of. So that's really great, and I think everyone should use it. Take the time and email and use it. I think it's great.
I think that's great advice too, because you're right. And it's, you know, things happen, and that's one of the reasons. That's actually the main reason why EWTN is not supportive of the divine will. They're not against it anymore. They were against it, but now they're sort of in a neutral position. It's because when they sought out many years ago, Father Mitch Pacwa, at the request of Mother Angelica, went down to Florida to a conference. And when he came back, he says, don't touch this divine will, because what I heard there is not Catholic. So we don't know what he heard exactly, but it couldn't have been good if he came back with that summary or report. And thus they put it on their own little forbidden, like, you know, stay away from it. But since, there's been attempts to get proper knowledge, proper translations, proper information, to EWTN, I think it's gotten to the point where they're, like I said, they're about neutral now. So when they come on board, though, it'll be easier for others, because some are saying, well, I'm waiting for them. But we're just, we're not waiting anything, because Jesus says this must be known. And for us to share this, we must know it ourselves. So we've got plenty of work to do. Let the Vatican, let the church, let Corrado, let all those guys worry about when it's going to be done, when we're going to get the approval, when we're going to do it. It doesn't matter. By the time we may get that, we may be in a position where God wants to give us so much more. So again, just I think perseverance. You know, one of the things I was thinking about, Maureen, yesterday, a statement that Father Anuzzi said. He said that the divine will is difficult to explain in words, but is easy to understand once we accept it. And cool. And again, understanding it. Because when we accept it, that's giving our fiat. And then that's when the deluge of grace is given. I mean, when Our Lady gave her fiat, everything was done for her. So when we give our fiat, we're saying, yes, we want this. We believe you. We trust you, God. We have faith in you. We have confidence in you. And then he gives us what we need. But he also tells us, I don't have the volume in front of me, but he tells us, this is very important. He says, there are certain gifts and graces I can give you from the outside, but to get the bulk of this, to get the crux of what you really need to journey and to possess this gift of living divine will, you must be inside of it to receive it. And that's where there's, I think there's a big confusion, because people think that, well, to get into the divine will, to start living the divine will, oh, I've got to spend 36 years. I've got to read the volumes like 10 times. Maybe for some individuals, but not for everybody. I think it's Jesus in volume 6 says, anyone in the state of grace with an ardent desire and an upright intention. What is that? State of grace, we know what that is, right? Going to the sacrament of reconciliation. Ardent desire, there's a graph that what Jesus is looking for, that he basically wants us to think about this all day long. To go to bed with it, to wake up with it. And to have an upright intention, meaning we want it for the right reasons. We want this because God wants this. We want this because we know it'll please God. But how do we know it's going to please God? Because he tells us, this is what pleases me the most. So anyone can enter into the divine will with just those three. And anybody can do that. It's once we're in, that's when the real work begins. That's when the journey begins. And again, God will give us commensurate to whatever we put into it, whatever effort we put, whatever desire we put in. But to enter into the divine will is really very easy. In fact, Jesus says that, oh, if I could find this one, and this is, I mean, he really hits home on this. He says, basically, I don't teach difficult things. Here it is. Volume 36, May 6, 1938. This is just a little bit of it. Jesus says to Louisa and to us through Louisa, quote, my good daughter, it is very easy. It is very easy to enter into my will. So see, don't believe me. I'm taking it from here. Honestly, I have none of my own thoughts. So my good daughter, it is very easy to enter into my will, since your Jesus never teaches difficult things. My love makes me adapt to human capabilities so that the creature can do with no difficulty, what I teach and what I want. End quote. So if anyone's there thinking, well, I can't do this, I can't raise the bar, I can't do it, I'm not going to be able to please God, I think that's incorrect. I think that's really selling ourselves short, you know? And yeah. I think we're the biggest enemy. I mean, to ourselves, I think we're the one that stops our progress most times, Maureen, you know? I mean, I think about this. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's been my experience that for me, like you said something that Jesus said, like he knows us all separately. Like, I don't know what the exact words you said, but he does. He knows who can read, who can't read, what their life experiences are at this moment. Maybe you can listen in the car. You have to make decisions, I think. Do I sit in front of the TV for an hour or do I read? Oh, I can't read today. Do I listen to the radio or do I turn on Father iNewsy and listen to him for my hour of ride of driving in the car? Like, there's ways. And I think that when you listen to the knowledges, when you learn about the divine will, I don't mean you have to understand it totally, but you read it and you go, whoa, I don't quite understand this, but I know this is some kind of awesome. So you get this hunger for it. And that, I think, comes with reading. Although I do believe that Jesus can give whatever he wants to whoever he wants. People that can't read, people that are sick, whatever. It's so individual. And that's the great thing about it. And it's unlike anything else. Like, you could read a whole, a volume or, you know, a couple days worth, and you can't really explain it to anybody. But you feel it. It's like to the soul. It's to the heart and soul. It's unlike anything else. And so just because you can't explain it to somebody, I get what Father iNewsy is saying. You know, it's hard to explain, but that doesn't mean it's not the most wonderful thing that ever existed. It means that we're just humans, and it might take us a long time to be able to explain it, but we can take it in. We can take it into our own lives, and it can change us, and it does change us.
I think that's a perfect analogy, because what God, I'm not going to say infused knowledge. I'm going to stay away from that term because that might get us in some trouble here, but I think there is infused. But the enlightenments that we get, Again, this is the language of heaven.
Yeah.
And if the language of heaven was just another vernacular, it would be easy to repeat to people. Okay.
Right.
Wasser is water in German. You know, I can repeat that. But it's not. It's not the language of heaven is not a different, it's not another vernacular. It's a spiritual understanding of God using our words.
Yeah.
And taking it to another level. It's that combination, I think, of Article 66 and the and one other article that escapes my mind right now. But so how do you explain something that's being explained to each and every one of us personally by
right.
God based on our own experiences, our own faults, our own assets?
Different.
So my understanding may not fit exactly or not even close to someone else's understanding and vice versa. So that's why we really act like cheerleaders. I mean, but you're going to get a lot of knowledge.
Yeah.
You're going to get a lot of, like, for example, I can take something that Father Celso said. I can take something Father Anuzzi said. I can take something Mother Gabriel said. Put them all together. I've got something really robust. So because they're all coming from a slightly different angle, different perspective, slightly different, like they're looking at a different view of blue. Than we are, and that each and every also, but that's good. So that expands our understanding of it. And but again, we're going to gravitate perhaps toward one more than others. We may have a liking toward one style of teaching. That's okay. You can have favorites. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, parents have favorites, so they won't admit it, but they do. But the problem is that when we get people that are overzealous and they'll say, I only listen to so-and-so, I'm not listening to
gosh.
Or they do
it's
even worse
shame.
Than that. And I'll be honest with you, I'm embarrassed to say it, but I hear that every week.
That's a shame.
It's been every week for years and years
That's
and
such
years.
A shame.
And it is. It goes back to scripture. Again, God gave us his example too. I follow James. I follow Paul. I follow Peter. No, I follow Jesus. I follow Mary.
Yeah.
And we can do that through all. But again, you can have a favorite. You can have someone that you relate to better. You understand better. That's fine. That's good.
Yeah.
I think that's healthy. But we have to keep it. And that's why unity is so difficult. I mean, the Archbishop is calling for unity, but Jesus even says unity can only be united around knowledge, around truth. So if I'm saying this is orange, and someone's saying this is red, how can we be in unity about that? We can't. So again, but we can still be friends. We can still journey together. We can still talk about it.
It really revolves around humility, doesn't it, Peter? Like, I like this guy. You like that? It's okay. Why does everyone have to like what I like or who I like?
Right.
It doesn't matter. Right. God's so wonderful. He gives us all the different people to choose from because he knows our personalities.
And
I love all of them. I take a little from this, little this, little this.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful. You can turn on a channel and hear Divine Will 24/7 from a great speaker. I mean, there's so many of them. It's wonderful. It's so great. Yeah. God is so good. And yet we're like, well, I like this one better, and you should too. I'm like,
it's
schoolyard.
True. And another thing too that's that can get us in trouble also is that when we say you have to read these volumes in order to receive this gift. That's not true. In fact, that's Gnosticism. That's a heresy. You cannot say that. This is a mystical gift. Gift. God can give this gift to anyone he wishes, whenever he wishes. Someone who's never heard of Louisa, never heard of the church, it doesn't matter. God can do whatever he wants to. Now, it is true, though, if God has made, I believe, these writings available to us, he's expecting us. He's giving us sort of like a shortcut. He's saying, here, this is how you can work. I'm giving you the work to do. It's like giving us the answers to the exam before we take the exam. So if he's given us access to these, I'm pretty sure he wants us to read it. Again, under what you said, Maureen, based on the circumstances of our life, God knows what we have, what responsibilities we have, and what we can and cannot do. And some of us can read hours a day. Some of us can read, you know, barely make that half hour. I'm thinking right away, just single moms. I mean, how do they find time to do anything? I mean,
right.
They're the heroes of the world. But don't tell my wife, she might get an eagle. But she's not single, my mother. I hope she's not. But so see, there's a simplicity here, and I think you're right. I think it's humility. We have to recognize that as much as we know nothing.
Right.
And we have to, because I think once we begin to think, oh, I think I'm getting this, I think I know it. That's right. A danger zone. Yeah, we're going to get it to a certain extent, and then God's going to do that every single day. Because again, he's going to give it to us commensurate to our desire, what we want, how much do we want. So it's interesting. Yeah, it really is. But, we're on a new subject, and that's the exchange of properties. Now we glossed on this about 2 weeks ago without, Maureen. I just thought, I forgot everything that was covered. So I thought we'd just go through it again. We're going to hit that footnote number 103, which is pretty long. But this is important too, because people are talking about this also. This is something that when it deals with the chastisements, it's important to know, because we need to prepare, emotionally, spiritually. We don't get overwhelmed by it. We don't get into a fear mode. God's going to win this war. We just don't know how many battles we're going to have to lose. But God talks about the chastisements, and you know what's going on in the world right now. I mean, they're trying to take the food away from us. They're trying to take the internet away from us. They're trying to take all our freedoms away. That phrase, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Just worse than communism. Again, it's all an attack on God. We're the children of God. So Satan wants to punish the children to attempt to punish the father. It's all against him. And anything you look at in the world that's not going well right now or is bad, it's an attack on God somewhere, whether it be the family, the sexual orientation, whatever. It's an attack on God. And we're unfortunately in the middle of this, but it's going to get, I do believe it's going to get tough. But we know what Jesus says to the little children of divine will, that, he'll take care of them. He'll protect them in whatever capacity. That doesn't mean some of us may not suffer gravely. We probably will. Again, this life is only, it's like being on probation. We just want to be ready mm-hmm. for that early release, whatever that may be, or whenever they decide to release us. So if we're prepared, we're ready. This is glory. And God's giving us mm-hmm. this taste of heaven on earth, which is just extraordinary. How do you explain this? You can't explain. I listen to myself. I sound crazy. I would never listen to me. But okay. So why don't we do this, Maureen? Why don't we go up to footnote number 103, and then we can dive into 103, because at least we have at least another 20 minutes, 23 minutes left.
Okay. 6.1.5.1, exchange of properties. If Thomas describes that the human will of Christ as sharing in the operation of his divine will that moves and rules, such that the different wills in Christ accomplish one in different operation, to Louisa, Jesus reveals how his divine will cooperated with my human will, how everything remained linked within me, how I did and redid everything, and how each thought of every soul was redone by me and sealed with my divine will. That's amazing. Like, I had to read that a couple times. Each thought of every soul was redone by me and sealed with my divine will. That right there, you realize how you're thinking in a different way now. You're thinking like they think in heaven. Sentences like that, it's a new dimension for us. It's heavenly.
Certainly is. I mean, if you think about it, he perfected everything that we were supposed to do perfectly. And now he left it up to us basically to say, okay, it's all done. Will you accept this? Will you embrace this? Will you claim this for yourself? Because he did it for us. He didn't do it for himself. Yeah, do it for himself. He's the uncaused cause. And then, again, how do you do that? It's just fiat. Well, how do you do a fiat? Wait, fiat is just fiat. You say, I give my fiat. And then you wait and you see what God does. And, and how do I know I'm doing God's will? Well, what's in front of us? That's mm-hmm. usually God's will, unless it's something we're doing that's not good, or we've taken ourselves into a dark area. Of course, that's not God's will. But he may use that to redirect us to somewhere better. I mean, everything, again, when we talked about this too, God's mysterious permissible will, which continues to be used by us. Just think about our worst moment in our lives, and then just think, if God's permissible will didn't allow that to occur, if we didn't endure, go through that, would we be here today? And then I can almost guarantee it's no. Everything I had to go through, which looked pretty bad at the time, I look back now, what a blessing. Thank you for taking me out of that, or taking me out of this, and or throwing me in the hospital for a couple of months, or again, or taking everything. It looked bad in the beginning, but God says, I'm never going to do anything, allow anything to happen to anyone, unless I can bring a greater good. But he also looks for, anyways, for our cooperation to make that greater good. We can say no. He's never going to force us. That's what's so bad. It's a true love, because he loves us completely. And what's true love? When you give someone the opportunity to either love you back or not love you back, that takes a lot of, of love to do that.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he's done here. But we recognize the divine will that there's no reason not to give him all our love and to increase our love every single day. Again, he tells us, I don't know what the volume is. He says, two greatest things I can do is give you greater knowledge of who I, God, am and who you, man, are. Because once we understand us more completely, we recognize that there's nothing we can do without God. And we're not made to operate, outside of a communion with God. That's the way it began. That's the way it's going to end. And we've sort of taken like a 6,000-year detour. But God has given us, he's given us everything that we need. He's given us all the examples. All the players can be, are there players that we're walking around with today at work and in the church? And, there's Judases, there's Doubting Thomases, there's Peters. I mean, everybody. There's roles. There's the Pharisees. The Pharisees are the bishops in Korea right now, who have blackballed the, remember, Father Celso told us that the greatest majority of divine will cynicals in the world are housed in South Korea. What happens? The bishops have said no more divine will.
Oh gosh,
I'm getting bits and pieces, and basically they're saying as well, they're saying Luisa is greater than the Blessed Mother. Well, first of all, God never said that. Then they're saying, well, Luisa is greater than the bishops. Well, yeah. they're greater than the priests. Well, her office is, yeah. But again, just like the Pharisees, why did they hate Jesus so much? Because they were intimidated by him. They were threatened by him. And we may be going through the same thing all over again. Again, I don't know what's in their heart, so I'm trying to be gentle here. But
well,
they're basically
saying, I see a Peter as old red legs is getting a little nervous, he's like, uh-oh, I gotta do something here. This is getting out of hand.
Yeah.
Once we know the enemy, we just say, oh yeah, he's upset. So he's seeing a little weakness and he's saying, all right, I'm going after this one because he'll work for me. And we just pray. It's probably a good sign how strong South Korea is.
Absolutely.
Hopefully America will have that.
Absolutely. Well, he's creating enough havoc in America also.
Take that back.
but I don't, not to the extent of what I think Korea is going through, South Korea is going through right now. Okay, that brings us to footnote 103. So every soul was redone by me and sealed with my divine will. Footnote number 103. And this is a large one. We've got a couple stops here. Not large word-wise, but just a lot of stuff in here. Okay.
Okay. Volume 12, January 29th, 1919. Now we have arrived at approximately the third 2,000 years, and there will be a third renewal. This is the reason for the general confusion, which is nothing other than the preparation for the third renewal.
Now just think about that. Doesn't that make perfect sense as to why everything's falling apart?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why everything? We've used the analogy of a yo-yo. Well, let's just consider Adam dropped a yo-yo out of his hand and had no intention of bringing it back up again. But you can't bring a yo-yo back up until it fully extends, until it goes all the way down. And, it was Cardinal Ratzinger, I think, that said that the church, the Catholic Church, is going to get so small, appear to be so small, so insignificant, that it's going to look as if it's not existent anymore. it'll just be a small remnant, and then it's gonna be reborn again with splendor. I mean, it's like a corporation that grows too big and has too many levels, and it starts to eat away at the profits. And again, I don't like using a business analogy, but there are some things that Satan has done to the church. Specifically, we can talk about this. It's an infiltration. We know that there were thousands of men that were ordained priests for the sole purpose of destroying the Catholic Church from within, which is a very, very clever move. In fact, that's what they're doing in countries right now. That's how countries go bankrupt or lose their way of life. It's usually from the inside. So that's all happening. So God says it's going to get very small. So we understand this. And it's not that the church is going away. It's not. But we know, again, this is the third. Jesus is warning us. He's preparing us. So when you see this, don't get nervous. Don't get anxious. General confusion. There's nothing other than the great preparation. What Our Lady say at Fatima? There's going to come a time when there's going to be a diabolical disorientation where good will be bad, bad will be good. Does that sound like now? Even good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good. That's exactly where we are right now. So again, Our Lady, we know that she's been the trumpeter every apparition, everything she's done, she states, has been only to assist her children to return to the divine will. She says it in the very movement of priests. She says it all.
I have to just give a shout out to the prophecies and how wonderful they are. I mean, Fatima, she said she spoke to us at Fatima. She spoke to us at Akita, Mary Movement of Priests. And I see some Catholic bloggers and they're like, oh, this is happening and this is happening and all this, that. And I think to myself, didn't you listen to Fatima? I mean, or for me, Medjugorje, I love Medjugorje. Our Lady's been telling us these things. So for us who are Mary's children, we should go, yeah, well, we know. Our Blessed Mother's been leading us. And so we get back to the work that we have to do. You know, get into the divine will calmly and faithfully with faith and divine mercy. I mean, it's all in divine mercy. So we have such an advantage being Catholic and the different prophets over the years that God has given us, mainly the Blessed Mother, Sister Faustina, just, you know, there's a couple of them that they've warned us, and not to get us all scared and frightened, but to bring calm to us so that when we see it happening, we've been expecting it and we've been living in expectation of it, changing our lives, getting close to God, praying, fasting, all the things that Our Lady's asked us to do. So for all those Catholic people that are, oh, this, that, and the other thing's happening, I just say, think to myself, well, you ought to go back and look at Fatima. Or, you know, I always want to say, Blessed Mother, she's the one, and follow her, and still follow her, you know, whatever she's telling us to do. And she's telling us to pray, fast, let Holy Mass be your life, divine will. I mean, it's all right here. So if we follow what she's telling us, as a good mother that she is, we should have the calmness that she wants us to have. And if we have times in the middle of the night when we're afraid or whatever, Jesus, I trust in you. We have it all. We have everything that we need to go through these times and to help other people. Can you imagine going through what's coming and not have God? And I think that's a call for us all. We're going to have to step out in faith and in trust to help those who don't know.
I agree 100%. And Our Lady, besides all she's done, which is she's done everything, and now she basically gives us her own version of a thesis. She gives us the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, which I think summarizes everything she's done, everything she stands for.
She's
blurting it out. You know, this is why I'm doing it. This is where I'm taking you. And you know, I mean, that's what's so great. If you haven't read it yet, please go to the Three Appeals.
Yes.
I mean, you get a unique opportunity to hear the words from God the Father. Imagine that, God the Father.
It goes right to your heart too, right?
Two or three lines. Oh, absolutely. No
right to the
words.
Heart.
Absolutely. God the Father. Again, appealing. what's an appeal? It's trying to persuade us. It's like begging us. Why does God have to beg us? Because he loves us that much. He's trying to convince us to trust him. Again, go back to divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. And what was the request? Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it. He's done it through the divine will. So he's fulfilled that. And again, we also know that this gift is the fulfillment of the Our Father prayer, the only prayer mm-hmm. Jesus gave.
Yeah,
he could have given this novena, that novena. Novenas are good. Please don't get me wrong. They were great. But he only gave one prayer because it encapsulates everything. And the key is thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And God was not going to petition his Father for something that his Father, number one, didn't want already. And number two, wasn't going to provide Jesus. It's a decree. It's a divine decree that is guaranteed to happen. The only question is when. And you know what? Things are starting to accelerate pretty fast right now. So, I concur with Father Cell. So he says it's probably going to be our lifetime. I really believe that that's a distinct mm-hmm. possibility. Everyone listening tonight, within our lifetime, we're going to see something significant happen.
And all again, the people, Peter, all these consecrations, like, I bet you a lot of the listeners have consecrated themselves. Over the years, there's just been different ways to consecrate yourself to Jesus through Mary, to the Immaculate Heart, consecration. And where are all the consecrations, all the people that have been consecrated, where is it all leading them? To the divine will. It's so obvious. Our Lady said, let me lead you. And this is where she's leading us. Yeah. I mean.
Well. Jesus said there'll be very few in the beginning, but I can state one fact, and this is a fact also that Jesus says in a couple of different ways. He says it. Everything in our lives that we've experienced, whether it be religious orders we're in, third orders, prayer groups, cynical groups, whatever we did, Marian movement priests, Carmelites, whatever we did was great. And it was a stepping stone to get us to where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason to go back down the stairs. Yeah, we can incorporate those devotions and now bring them to a different level under the umbrella of the divine will. That's what God is actually looking for us to do. We don't have to do anything new, really. But I had somebody the other day say to me, Peter, how do I get released from becoming a Benedictine Oblate of divine will? Because I want to join this other third order. And I'm saying to myself, how sad. The greatest third order, because not because of how it's run or how it looks, but because it's divine will centric. It's the only divine will centric, third order for the laity. Why would you want to give that up for something else? Unless perhaps the understanding may not be there or it hasn't permeated at all. I don't know the person. Or maybe, we hear a lot of things from people. We hear a lot of chatter at times, and a lot of times that's a distraction. We have to remember also, I heard this phrase too. This is great. Everybody in our old life is playing a different game than we are now. Not that we're better, we're not, but we're playing a different game right now. We're in a different direction. It's a direction that God wants all peoples to go in. But for somehow, some way, we've been crazy enough to say yes. Even though we may look foolish at times. And I think that's what's so beautiful about this. It's okay to be foolish.
Mm-hmm.
So great. Well, we're exactly where we need to be. But you're right, Maureen. If we didn't, can you imagine the how despondent we would become, how we mm-hmm. would be with everything that's going on in the world and next year with the cashless system and everything else is going to go, the food supply. I mean, again, Jesus says evil will exhaust itself. There's a certain, God's grace can never be exhausted because it's infinite. But evil can, if you wanted to kill somebody, there's just the most evil way to do it. And there's nothing worse than that. You can't go a double evil. Evil will exhaust itself. And, it's almost like people are competing. Who could be more evil? Who can do it worse? Who can do it greater, in a more demonic way? That's exactly what it feels like. I go on the streets, and not so much here, but if I go back to New Jersey and New York, I'm looking around, and people are just like, they look to me like they're ready just to pop, they look tense. And again, things are, inflation's high, you've got stories of war, rumors of war. Just, again, everything Our Lady told us. Let's go back to it again. We want anything. If we're not sold on Our Lady, go back to Fatima. Remember the church, some not so nice guys in the church tried to tell us, oh, no, Fatima's done. There's nothing left in Fatima. Don't talk about Fatima. And what did Pope Benedict say when he heard that? He says, you would be deceiving yourself if you thought that Fatima's over. So again, Fatima's alive. Fatima is the reason why Mary's Hill was introduced to divine role through Deacon John Thompson, which, by the way, happens to be Maureen's father. And that's how we first heard Maureen. First time we heard Louisa Pickett at the gift of the divine will. And how can I repay Deacon for that? My life is, I have less than I've ever had in my life, and I'm the happiest. People think I'm crazy. They really do. I go to the supermarket.
You're free.
Oh, seriously, I was still at the shop. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. What's my, you look so happy. Are you all right? There's big lines here. Nobody, yeah, what am I going to do? Of course I'm happy. I woke up today. Many didn't, but yeah, it's a long story. But again, I really believe we're exactly where we should be. God knows where we should be. And don't worry about what other people say. Don't worry about what your pastor says. I mean, the pastors down at my local church, and they want no part of divine will. In fact, I'll go into that story all the time. Well, I'd rather do this, but they want no part of it. So that's the for the general confusion. We know that God's again, he's spelling it out to us many years, 100 years before it happens. He's telling us this is what's going to happen. Okay. We can go to the second one, Maria. Are we on time? Okay.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. How much? Okay. I completely forget where we were. Okay. If in the second renewal I manifested what my humanity did and suffered, and very little of what my divinity was accomplishing, now in this third renewal, after the earth will be purged and a great part of the current generation destroyed, I will be even more generous with creatures. And I will accomplish this renewal by manifesting what my divinity did within my humanity.
That's a very heavy line.
I was thinking about just this isn't too heavy. What I was going to say, maybe I'm kind of sidetracking, but when you read the Hours of the Passion, that book, it does that. It takes you into the divinity of the suffering of Jesus. I think that's why it's so powerful. For those who can read that book, it'd be great. The Hours of the Passion. Yeah.
In fact, Father Annuzzi was asked, for someone who doesn't have a lot of time to read, the question was, how can they make the biggest inroads into the divine world? How can they penetrate into the divine world the fastest with a limited amount of time? And Father said, go through the Hours of the Passion, because you're intimately in union with Jesus in his passion, which is no greater place to be. Because again, it's just like Louisa when she saw Jesus from the balcony. She had that pity. She was moved. Again, that's something you can't teach. How do you teach someone to be moved? You don't. But I can guarantee everyone that's studying the divine will right now has the ability to be moved. Otherwise, God could not use us. So, Hours of the Passion, absolutely. And what does he also pray? He also, there's many promises to go with that. Every word that's prayed is a divine life and will save a soul or souls in purgatory. I mean, it's just incredible.
And it says, if one person in each town would pray it, the chastisement would be mitigated in that town.
Right.
I mean, that's another way if he's trying to show us the power of it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But
it's amazing.
Absolutely. Maybe next week, too, we can go through. If you have the dissertation on page 264 and 265, Father Annuzzi has extracted different places in the volumes where Jesus speaks about the chastisement, gives us a heads up as to what some of them are going to be like. And it's really interesting too, because at the end, Jesus also says, He's allowing this for a greater good. He says, in the end, after these chastisements are completed, it'll bring everyone back to the church. They'll all be Catholic again. They'll all be one. Again, sometimes parents have to use tough love. God has to do the same thing. He wants his paternity back. That's exactly what he told us. I want to be father. I want to be your father, my father, his father, her father, all over again. But he won't force us. He's a gentle father. He's a gentle God. But again, we have everything we need. We just have to, I think, again, the most difficult thing, I think, for me, maybe for others, is that trust and belief. If we believe these writings to be truly written by Jesus, game over. That's it. What was said and is said in these volumes, if this is Jesus, and I believe it is Jesus, then we have nothing to worry about. Nothing. It's going to happen with or without us. Jesus says that. But he's giving us an opportunity. There'll be few in the beginning. And again, if you can go to that page 264, 265, maybe next week we can draw on that. But let me just see if I can just read that one line, if I may, because it's just beautiful. Then he goes on, after all the chastisements, first, then he says, while those who live in the divine will have dominion over the elements. Okay, returning to Adam. Remember, Adam can move mountains. Adam can stop the water. Moses was able to part the sea. At the end, he says, and as a result, this is Jesus speaking, as a result of said chastisements, the Vatican will be shaken in part. But in the end, the nations will turn back to God. End quote. So it took this, unfortunately, or fortunately, to get all nations back to God. We thank God for everything, especially for our lives now and for everything we've endured in the past. And we've survived, maybe difficultly, but we survived. And now why we survived? Because we were supposed to be alive at this time, right here, right now. Mm-hmm. No such thing as a bad day anymore. So yeah, some days can be better than others, but no bad days. Mm-hmm. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Maureen.
Thanks, Peter.
Love everybody. We have Mother Gabriel. Yes, Mother Gabriel this weekend on Sunday, coming from Maryville, Tennessee. Rosary and Adoration begins at 1 p.m. on Sunday, and Mother and the sisters join us at 2 p.m. until about 3:30. So that's this Sunday. Again, if you haven't listened to Mother and the sisters, again, you want a practical approach to the divine will, one that you can really relate to. Everyone can relate to in one aspect or another. Tune in on Sunday. You will not be disappointed. Okay. Love everyone. God bless everyone. Be kind to one another. We're going to need each other. Bye-bye.